Going to be in this particular passage of Scripture. Going to be dealing with one of the main important doctrines that we hold as true, and that's the assurance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly this world offers us no assurance. It doesn't even offer very good insurance, but we have assurance from the Lord, and a whole lot to consider. We could make this, again, about like our Sunday night study in the book of the Revelation. You can make this just about as long as you want it to be. This coming Sunday night will be in our third lesson, and we've sort of gone pretty rapidly through the first three chapters. This coming Sunday night will be in Revelation chapter 4, and that'll take care of the things that are hereafter, the prophetic part of the book of the Revelation. So tonight we will be in 1 John chapter number 5, dealing with this thing of assurance of our salvation. There's a number of people, there's probably more people that live in this world that have no assurance about their salvation. I'm talking about religious people, folks. Many of them go to church every Sunday, and they'll be in their place on Sunday night and Wednesday night. But when you talk to them, they will, and deal with this thing of salvation, many people will tell you, well, I hope I will make it to heaven. I'm glad tonight that I don't have to hope. I'm glad I do not have to have that fear of maybe not making it to heaven. The lady that called this past week, she was raised in a particular group that had no assurance at all about her salvation. And she said, I knew that I was going to heaven. I knew I had that in my heart, but I was not taught that. I said, well, that's an indication that the best teacher we have is the Holy Spirit, because He teaches us, He guides, directs us in the paths of righteousness. And I think this is very important, because if we never have assurance of our hope in heaven and home that is awaiting us, then we live in a world that is not very happy. We live in a time frame that we do not accomplish what we need to accomplish as a Christian. And so we need this thing of assurance. We need to know that we're going to heaven. We need to have that complete assurance that when we die, there's a home waiting for us that's been purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And John, 1 John chapter number 5 gives us a few verses here concerning this subject that we'll be dealing with, and we'll be here in the next two or three weeks. And so read with me in verse number 10, and we'll read down through verse number 13, 14, somewhere through there. Verse 10, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave us His Son. And this is the record. Now here's the statement. And this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And so we have here John, the apostle, gives us these few words concerning eternal life. Even the word itself tells us how long it's going to last. It's eternal. And so we need to have that assurance in our heart and in our minds that when we make a profession and when God saves us, it's not just in filling out a card, it's not just in having an emotional experience, it's not just saying the 1, 2, 3, I believe things, but I'm talking about a real experience with trusting Lord Jesus Christ. When we know we have done that, then we need to also know that He gives us assurance that we have eternal life. This is the record. And I hold before us tonight the record. And from Genesis to Revelation, the record is that God loves mankind. God sent His Son. He revealed that in the Old Testament in signs and types and typology. He revealed it in the New Testament in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death His burial and His resurrection, His ascension. And you and I tonight, we are waiting on His soon return. And so these things are all intertwined together to teach us that we have something that is worth living for, something that's worth giving our lives unto, because this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. And so the key verse here that we deal with is that salvation is a gift of God, which is told in many, many other places of Scripture, and that gift is through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And verse 13 is the verse tonight that we will look at primarily. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know." You ought to underline that word, know. That means an emphatic knowledge of something that is given to us. We've already learned that it's a gift. We've already learned it's from His Son. And so John says, here's the record, and the record proves unto you who He is. And the record tells us that we that believe on Him, we have eternal life. And that we can know that, and that we can believe on the Son of God. And so tonight we're going to be dealing with this verse and the subject of assurance. We have in our song book a song that we sang many times, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Now, a lot of folks sing that, but they don't have that blessed assurance. And it is a blessed assurance. It is a blessed thing to know that when we leave this world, that we have a home in heaven, that we are going to heaven, and that we have that assurance that Jesus Christ is our all in all. And so tonight we'll be dealing with that. And He says, "These things have I written." These are things that have been given to us down through the centuries, down through the ages. The very Word of God that we hold in our hands is God's promise of salvation. All the way through, as I mentioned a moment ago, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, it is a promise of God that God is going to send forth a deliverer, and that deliverer came in the form of a man, the God-man Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter what man thinks, it doesn't matter what man feels, it doesn't matter what man says concerning salvation, but it does matter what God says. And so we have a lot of different ideas, a lot of different ways and thoughts concerning salvation. But there's only one thing that really matters, and that's what the book says, what Jesus has given to us and preserved to us in our Bible. And so we look at that, and He says here that He writes these to us, that we that believe on the Son of God. So we know very quickly that John is writing to believers. He's writing to you and I that believe. And I sort of like the term a believer. We are believers. We trust Him. We believe upon Him. And so these things are written to us that are saved. We that believe on Him, it speaks that we rely upon Him for our salvation. It's not that we rely upon ourselves or someone else or something that we can do. We rely upon Him and He alone. And it says that we do that we may know. That's the crux of the matter. That's the underlying thought that we want to deal with tonight, is that we may know. That we have that assurance of salvation. The key word in the book of 1 John, all the way through 1 John, is the word know. A knowledge. Hadn't been too long ago, we gave a message concerning knowledge and wisdom, understanding those things. And so knowledge here is that we may know. And that is the key word in the entire book of 1 John. And you and I that are saved, God wants us to know. He has some things for us. God wants us to live in the realm of knowledge, in the realm of understanding that that we are saved, going to heaven, and nothing can detour us. Now, we may have some problems along the way, but it doesn't detour, it doesn't take us away from our final destination, because it doesn't depend upon what I do, it depends upon what He did there on Calvary that day. And it's called eternal life, eternal, everlasting. It speaks of a surety, a seal of our salvation. And we have that given to us. And so we look at these things, and tonight we're just going to sort of just start. There's two or three things I want to deal with in these next weeks, and I may take two or three to get that. So just read these verses and some other things that we'll be giving to you. But we can have full assurance because of our, and all we're going to deal with tonight is our position. What the Lord, where He has placed us, where we are when it comes to eternity. We are, by the Word of God, we are saved. That's a good biblical term. The word converted means we have been changed. And so we are saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are what? Saved." So Paul uses that word saved. It means we use the term born again. We use the term converted. We use a lot of different thoughts on that. But Paul says here, "To us which are saved, it is the power of God." And so thank the Lord tonight that the preaching of the cross is what brings about salvation. Now there's a lot of facets. There's a lot of different angles we can take in presenting the gospel. This past Sunday morning, we had a man here in the church that had been staying in our missions apartment for this past week during the county fair. He handed out tracts. He handed out different things. Talked with different people. Some people made profession of faith, and so that's one of the ways of getting the gospel out to individuals that may never would go to church and may never hear the message. But to those of us that are saved, we know that it is the power of God, the presence of the Lord, and the preaching of the cross. We preach it through our lives. We preach it through our pulpits. We preach it through our missionaries. We preach it through every angle that we have to present the gospel that Jesus died for mankind, that He is the Savior of everyone that will believe. And that's the only ones that He'll save, if they will believe. He'll save them, the Scripture says, to the uttermost or to the completeness of salvation. And that's where we get this understanding that our position is in Him. We are saved. We're not trying to be saved. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm trying to get there, preacher. I'm trying to be saved. I'm doing the best I can." Well, we can try all we want to. We can do the best we can. And we can struggle through all the issues that we have, but it'll never be enough. Salvation is a gift of God. It's an action of the Lord. And we need to stop trying and start trusting the Lord. I've had people say, "Well, I'm doing all I know to do." Well, we don't know enough. It's not the knowledge. It's the trust. It's the belief. It's the acceptance of Jesus Christ in our heart. And so it's not the thing that we're trying to get to heaven. If you're born again, if you're saved tonight, we don't have to try to get to heaven. You are bound for heaven. You're on the train that's headed there. You're on the path that leads there and leads to a place that He has prepared for us. We are not trying to be saved. And then another thing I think we need to understand, we are not being saved. It's not a process. Salvation is an instantaneous act when Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes and presents to us the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust Him. He saves us. Now, there is a process of being conformed to the image of the Lord. There's a process of growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But that's not saving us. We are saved when we believe. We are saved when we trust Him. And I know these things are elementary to many of us. It's something that we have known for a number of years. But these are things we combat continually. People will tell us, and we know well the doctrine of salvation. But many people that we deal with do not know that, and they're either trying to be saved, or they're doing the best they can, or they're working on it. And we're not there. We don't believe that. We believe when Jesus comes and when the Spirit presents Him, the gospel is preached, proclaimed, given to us. We trust Him immediately. We are born again. It's not a process. There's no such thing as a progressive salvation. I know some preachers that preach that. I know some preachers that teach that. I know some not too far from here that teach a progressive salvation, that the Lord gives you a little bit of light and a little more light and a little more light and a little more light, and then all of a sudden you realize, "Oh, I'm saved." That's foreign to the Word of God. The Scripture says He is the light, and when we see Him and we trust Him and believe upon Him, call upon His name, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a process immediate. And so we're not trying to be saved. We are not being saved. And as I said the other day, we're not on probation. Thank God it's not a probation. It is a continual forgiveness of our sins, and we have all those things are past. And we are not on probation at all. Probation can be broken and we can be put back in. But when you're pardoned, when you have what God gives us, there's no remembrance. He says, "I've forgotten your sins. I've put them as far as the east is from the west. And I've put them in the sea of forgetfulness. And so it's not a probationary period of time. And if we do bad, we get put over into another place. Or if we don't die right, then we're in another place. And it's almost like like the Catholics teach a purgatory, that if we could do a little bit better or somebody pray for us, we might get out of that and maybe get to heaven. No, we have salvation that's a surety and a sure thing of what Christ has done, that we can call upon Him and know that He has saved us, and we can live for Him and serve Him. Do we falter? Do we fail? Do we sin? Of course we do. I'm glad we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the Lord, and He takes care of us. Salvation is a present tense, unchanging position that we have in Christ. We are, the Bible, I wish I'd have thought and looked up all the times it talks about being in Christ. We are in Him, and He is in us, and we have that present understanding, that present knowledge. So we are saved. What a wonderful term, what a wonderful thought or knowledge that we can say that I'm saved. Not only am I saved, but thank God we are forgiven. Our past sins, our past ways are forgiven. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, let's just turn back there and we'll read it. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 12, says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven, and for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. And so John tells us here that we have been forgiven. We have literally been placed. That word forgiven, it just simply means a completion or a reversal of where we are. He has separated us from our sins, and He has forgiven those and says everything is well. He takes them away from us. He doesn't just cover our sins. Thank God He takes our sins away. The Old Testament had a doctrine of the atonement. The atonement was a covering. It would cover their sins. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, and their sins had been atoned for. Their sins had been covered. And it was pushed forward, and it had to do the same thing the next year, and the next year, and the next year. Their sins were continually covered and pushed forward. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, as our high priest, He didn't cover our sins. Thank God He took them away. We are forgiven. And we have been separated from the world and separated from this life as far as east is from the west. As I've said so many times, you can't find the beginning of east. You can't find the end of west. God didn't say from north to south, because there's a stop and a start point of north and south. But when you go east and west, you just keep going. And so He's thrown them as far as the east is from the west, and never to be remembered against us again. There's never to be brought up against us. The only one that does that is the accuser of the brethren, the devil. Now he'll say, look what you did. Don't you remember what you did? How'd you do that? Why'd you do that? And he is always accusing us. But the Lord says, I remember them no more. Praise the Lord, salvation comes as a forgiveness. Forgiveness means that God has forgot our sins. He's blotted them out, and no longer does He look upon them. No longer does He see them. No longer does He accuse us. We have been born again. We have been saved. We have been forgiven. We are taken and placed in a new family. We are taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of the dear Son of God. And so we're saved, and we are forgiven, and we are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't have to have anything else done. Nothing has to take place to get us to heaven. It's not a process of work. It's something that is completed in us. Jesus not only died for our past sins, He died for our present sins, He died for our future sins. For with Him He knew them all at one same time. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it what? White as snow. And so tonight we have been completed. We have been justified. We've been taken. We've been placed into the family of God. The Bible says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Psalm 32:1. Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is that man whose transgression or his sin is forgiven, and his sin is covered. And God does not impute or God does not apply it to our record. He takes it away. And so when John says here, there in 1 John 5, this is the record, and I've written these things that you believe on the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants us to know that we have eternity ahead of us. So we are saved, we are forgiven. Thirdly, we are washed. Simple things that we see in the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We have been washed. We've been made clean. Many times when people come to know Christ and you talk to them before long, they'll say, I feel so clean. I was so burdened. Now the burden's gone. I feel clean. I feel different. And again, salvation is not on a feeling, but I'm glad salvation gives you a feeling. We're not saved because of our feeling, but we have feelings because of our salvation. And folks will say, I just feel the burden is gone. The burden is lifted and been washed and made new. God has spiritually bathed us through the cleansing agent of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the water of the Word of God. Isaiah 1:8 says that we are to be made white as snow and like wool. And so we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God comes and cleanses us and makes us have that fresh newness of life. And as the Old Testament priest washed in the laver, which was made like a looking glass, we are washed at the well from whence the water of the Word of God gives to us and purifies and cleans us. And these are the things that we can know that we have eternity, that we have a life ahead of us in salvation. We have an overall bath, spiritually speaking. In the light of eternity, we are clean, and we're clean indeed. We're saved, we're born again, and we have that in the salvation and in the knowledge of knowing that we're going to heaven. We have fellowship with Him. We have fellowship one with another. Simply spiritually walking together. We come together in the Lord's house on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, other times when we have different gatherings and things going on, we come together in the fellowship of believers. Why? Because we know that we are headed toward heaven. We know that we have the Lord living in our heart, the Spirit of God that moves inside of us and takes up His abode, takes up His dwelling within us, and He testifies to us. The very first verse that I read tonight, verse number 10, He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. You know what that witness is? It's the Holy Spirit. We that have believed upon the Son of God, we have that witness within ourselves. We cry, Abba, Father, and the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God, that we are children of God. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the understanding, that gives us the knowledge, that gives us the assurance that we have done what the Lord has told us to do. And based upon the Word of God, we can know that we're going to heaven when we die. I don't know of a more problematic thing for an individual is to be in a religion and they have truly, and I told the lady I talked to the other day, I said, there's a lot of people that are saved and they're saved in spite of what they're taught. They hear enough gospel, they hear enough to understand, to believe upon the Lord, they get saved. But they don't go any farther. They have no growth. They have no maturity. Because what they hear is totally different than what the Holy Spirit tries to show them in their heart. And she said, oh, I know, I understand that. She said, that's why I'm not where I was. Because the Spirit of God revealed some things in her life. And He reveals it in our life. We have fellowship with Him. We have the understanding and we have been washed and we walk in the work of the Lord, and He is the one that has given us that witness within us. And he that believeth not makes God a liar, but he that believeth, we have the record, we have the understanding, we have the knowledge, we have the know-so that we are headed toward heaven. So we have fellowship because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Fellowship is more than what we call it in most Baptist churches. It's more than a meal. It's more than coming together and just sitting around talking. Fellowship is having communion with the Lord. It's to have a maybe even a private worship time with our Lord. Just me and Him. Just you and Him. Just a time that we can get along with the Lord and can know the closeness of the fellowship of the Spirit of God that's in our heart. And so we are saved, we're forgiven, we are washed, we are sanctified. The word sanctified just simply means we've been set aside. When the Lord saved you, when the Lord saved me, He took me out of one kingdom and He placed me in another kingdom. He sanctified me. He put me out of one, put me into another, and He's got a specific job for us to do. Every one of us has a job. Every one of us has a fulfilling job that God wants to give to us. The verse that I read a while ago there in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "And such were some of you." That's after a list of a whole lot of different types of sins. And go back in 1 Corinthians 6, you'll find Paul lists a lot of terrible sins and sinners. Oh, but thank God for that verse that we are looking now. It says, "And such were some of you." We all can go back to our past. We know what we were. We know what we would have been. And so Paul is writing to these Christians at Corinth, and he lists all these different groups of sinners. He said, some of you were just like them. But now, he says, ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. So that word sanctified just simply means that we've been set aside. We've been placed into the work of the Lord. We are one in Christ. We are hid in Christ in God. We are not only brothers and sisters in our relationship with one another, but we are in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We have been sanctified. We have been set aside to be in His family and His kingdom. Jesus, and we're not ashamed to call Him our Lord. There's a lot of people tonight, I'm afraid, are a little bit ashamed to talk about the Lord. My, what all He has done for us, we should never be ashamed. We should never bow our heads. We should never take a second row and back seat to anyone. We could go around the auditorium tonight, a few people here tonight, but we could go around each one and we could list some of the monumental things in our minds of what the Lord has done for us. And it will be amazing. The old song says, "Count your many blessings, see what God hath done for you." Count your many blessings, it will surprise you. When we just take time, sometimes we're so busy, sometimes we're so active, sometimes we're so involved in things that we forget about all the things God's done for us. But He saved us, He washed us, He justified us, He sanctified us. When we are saved, we become a part of a great family, the family of God. The family of God, the Scripture talks about, that's named in heaven and earth, big family. I have a family. You have a family. We carry certain names. And part of my family's in heaven. Part of my family's on earth. I'm sorry to say, I'm sure some of my family is in hell. But one thing for sure, we're in that family. And that does not change. And when the Lord saved us, He put us into His family. And that family is named on earth. And it's also named in heaven. Probably all of us tonight, we could call out some names of people that we know that's in our family that have gone to heaven. It's a great thing to think about. They're gone. We can't talk to them. We can't see them. We can't deal with them. Despite what the world tells us, we can't commune with them. But we know where they are. And so therefore, they're not lost from us. They're just in a different place. And one of these days, since I'm born again, since you're saved, one of these days there's going to be our family get together. I have a grandmother that was very instrumental in my life. I have a mother. I have a father. That's very important in my life. I have family members that have gone on. I didn't have a large family, just me. But I know those three people. I know where they are. And there's other outside the immediate family that I know are Christians, and were Christians, and they live for God. In that family. They don't all carry the same name. I carry the name Richardson, but part of my family carries the name Shoecraft. Some of them carry the name Holder. Some of them just different names, but they're all that family. Mary, different names. And I'm glad that I know for sure that where I'm going, and I have the greatest assurance in my heart that I'll see them again. Look upon them and talk with them, because they're not gone. They're not out of existence. They're living. More living than we are. And you know what they're waiting for? They're waiting the same thing we are. We're waiting the rapture. They're waiting the resurrection of the body. And once again, they'll be united with that new body that the Lord will give for them. And we'll be together forever in the air with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful thing to know we're saved. It's a wonderful thing to know that we've been washed, to know that we've been forgiven, that we've been sanctified. When we're saved, we're in that family. When we're saved, we become the children of God. We are, according to Galatians chapter 3, says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." All children of God, those of us that have been saved, those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, every time he confesses concerning salvation, it's always very clear that it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been saved. We've been born again. We're justified. We've been washed and we've been placed. The word justified means we've been made not guilty. We're innocent. It's all because of Him. We're free. We're righteous, according to the Word of God. And we've been made perfect, spiritually speaking. We're not perfect without sin, but we've been made perfect in the eyes of God because we trust Him. Jude, verse number 24, says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling," that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that's able. I can't do it. I can't keep me from falling. I fall too much. I fail too many times. But to Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. So we're innocent, we're free, we're righteous, we're justified, we're saved, we're washed. And thank God, lastly, we are complete. We're complete in Him. Everything's finished. Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all the principality and power. God has given us all that we need. We don't need anything else. We just need what God gives to us and follow after Him. We don't have to work it out, work it up. We just have to serve Him, knowing that what we have is all we need. God has done all there is that can be done. I can't add to it. I can't take away from it. In His time, He'll take us home by way of either rapture or death. But we're going home one day because He has saved us and He's given us an eternity. So we have full assurance because of our position. My position tonight is in Him. It's not in my goods and my ways, but it's what He has done for me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." He began a good work in me. He began a good work in you. And you know what? He will perform it. And the word "perform" there means perform to completion. It'll be done. And He's working on us. He's helping us. He's teaching us. He's training us. And one day He will perform it, complete it, until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a position, and it's in Him. We have a position all because of Him. And John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. No greater knowledge than to know going to heaven. We say, well, I know I'm going to do this, I know I'm going to do that, and those things maybe will work out, they may not. We all have our thoughts, I'm going to do this tomorrow. We have our plans, maybe even for after a while. We're going to go home, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Those things, those are our plans. Sometimes those plans get interrupted. Sometimes those plans don't work out like we think they will. But there is a plan that God has for us, and He will perform it. And He will take care of it. And He will complete it. And one day I'll stand before Him complete in Christ Jesus, body, soul, spirit. And I'm complete with Him now because of what He did for me on Calvary. These things have I written that you may know. Everything in this book is for our knowledge, to help us, to train us, to teach us that we can do the best we can in this old wicked world in which we live and how we see wickedness everywhere. So may God help us tonight to know that we can know, that we know that we're saved. He has birthed us in His family, and one day we'll be joined together. The family of heaven and earth will all one day be in heaven. What a great, wonderful gathering that will be. Let's stand together tonight.